Chapter 26. Today is Assembly Day. The Oxford English Dictionary has no formal entry for this occasion, but if it did, it might go something like this. Assembly Day, noun. A boarding school tradition in which the family of the schoolgirl is allowed a visit, resulting in the mortification of all and the enjoyment of none. I've coiffed my hair, buttoned, laced, and pinned myself into ladylike perfection, or as close as I can get to it. But inside, I'm still reeling from my visit with Mother and our argument. I behaved terribly. Tonight, I'll go to her and apologize, feel her warm arms around me again. Still, I wish I could tell my family, Father especially, that I've seen Mother. That somewhere beyond here, in another world, she is alive and loving and beautiful as we all remember her to be. I have no idea what I'll find when I go downstairs, and I'm torn up with hoping and wishing. Father might walk in, looking well-fed and groomed in his fine black suit. He might hold out a gift for me, something wrapped in gold paper. He might call me his jewel, might even get sour-faced Bridget to laugh at his tales, might hold me close. Might. Is there any opiate more powerful than that word? Perhaps I could come along with you, Anne says, as I try to tame my hair for the 100th time. It doesn't want to stay neatly coiled atop my head as a lady should. You'd be dreadfully bored within 5 minutes, I say, pinching roses into my cheeks that flare and fade straight away. I don't want Anne along when I'm not sure of what I'll find. Will your brother be coming today? Anne asks. Yes, God help us all, I mutter. Two springy curls flop down low on my forehead. I've got to do something with this hair. I don't want to encourage Anne where Tom is concerned. At least you have a brother to annoy you. In the washing stand mirror, I catch a glimpse of Anne sitting forlornly on her bed, dressed in her best, with nowhere to go, no one to see. I'm going on and on about the trials of seeing my family, while she'll spend the entire day alone. Assembly Day must be excruciating for her. All right, I sigh. If you're up for the torture, you can come along. She doesn't say thank you. We both know it's a mission of mercy, but for which one of us I can't say yet. I take in the sight of her, white dress straining at the seams over her chubby body, wisps of lank hair already escaping from her chignon, hanging in her watery eyes. She's not the beauty I saw last night in the garden. Let's do something with that hair of yours. She tries to see around me in the mirror. What's wrong with my hair? Nothing a good brushing and several pins can't cure. Hold still. I take down her hair. The brush yanks through a knotty snarl at the base of her scalp. Ouch! The price of beauty, I say, by way of apologizing, without really apologizing. After all, she said she wanted to come along. The price of baldness, you mean? If you'd hold still, this wouldn't be so difficult. She's suddenly so still she could be mistaken for a stone. Pain is underrated as a tool of motivation. I put what seems like 1,000 pins in to hold it in place. It's not half bad. At least it's an improvement, and I'm feeling a little impressed with myself, actually. Anne positions herself in front of the mirror. What do you think? I ask. She turns her head left and right. I liked it the other way. There's gratitude for you. You're not going to be this sullen all day, are you? Because if you are... Felicity pushes open the door and leans provocatively against the frame, playing the coquette. Bonjour, mademoiselle. Tis I, the Queen of Sheba. You must save your genuflecting for later. The laces of her corset have been cinched so tight that her breasts are pushed forward noticeably. What do you think, darlings? Am I not irresistible? Beautiful, I answer. When Anne hesitates, I nudge her foot with mine. Yes, beautiful, she echoes. Felicity smiles like she's only just discovering the world. He's coming. I can't wait for him to see what a lady I've become these past 2 years. Can you believe it's been 2 long years since I last saw my father? She twirls around the room. Of course you must meet him. He'll adore you all, I'm sure of it. I want him to see that I'm getting on well here. Do either of you have any scent? Anne and I shake our heads. No perfume at all. I can't go without smelling lovely. Felicity's mood is dropping fast. Here, I say, pulling a rose from a vase on the windowsill. The petals crush easily between my fingers, leaving a sweet, sticky juice on my fingers. I dab it behind Felicity's ears and onto her wrists. She brings her wrist to her nose and inhales. Perfect! Gemma, you are a genius! She throws her arms around me, gives me a little kiss. It's a little disconcerting, this side of Felicity, like having a pet shark that thinks itself a goldfish. Where's Pip? Anne asks. Downstairs. Her parents came with Mr. Bumble. Can you imagine? Let's hope she sends him packing today. Well, she says, breaking away. Adieu, mes filles. I shall see you anon. With a low bow, she is gone in a haze of roses and hope. Come on, then, I say to Anne, wiping the last traces of flour from my fingers. Let's get this over with, shall we?